Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, we're looking to hook up with Matt Lombardo, senior national NFL analyst for FanBuzz, to talk some NFL Week 6 yesterday. Like I said, yesterday, again, did we have a marquee game that stood out? The kind of game that we were all, like, ready for, kind of gravitating toward? Not really. I mean, again, a lot of this is local. A lot of this is, you know, hey, listen, my team is in this divisional race, so maybe this game matters. Maybe my own team was playing in a tight game. But nothing really popped out. I mean, look, if you're looking at the best teams, it was shocking that the Jets beat Philadelphia. But, you know, the Jets were home, and they become kind of a tough out. But they were without Sauce Gardner. They were without DJ Reed on the defensive side. Felt like Philadelphia would put this one away. They didn't. San Francisco suffered some injuries. And the defensive play calling on the Cleveland Browns was exceptional. They didn't get an awesome game from PJ Walker, where now we're waking up to that news. But nevertheless, this is what happens in the NFL. These games, while they're shocking, they are part of the narrative that these are pretty tight. Matt Lombardo again joins us, FanBuzz, a senior NFL analyst, to talk about Week 6 in the NFL. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. So let's talk about San Francisco and the play calling of the Browns defense. Look, I get, you know, you lose Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. It's a big deal. But how good did Jim Schwartz do on the defensive side to call enough plays to get the Browns in that game?
Yeah, I thought that was a masterclass, not only by Jim Schwartz, kind of stonewalling what Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers do best, just completely taking away the running game. But let's not discount, and I talked to an executive about this last night, let's not discount the talent level top to bottom at all three levels of that Browns defense. I thought Schwartz ran circles around Shanahan from a coaching perspective. But you look at what Myles Garrett did early against Trent Williams, kind of setting the tone for the afternoon. Denzel Ward in the backfield, a couple of nice plays in the secondary. I think that, you know, the 49ers, the biggest concern for them moving forward is what is the health of Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel in the coming weeks? How much do these injuries linger? What are the lingering effects of them? Because I think they found out yesterday, albeit not many defenses have the talent and the consistency of the Browns, but they found out yesterday kind of the pitfalls that could be waiting for them if they ask Brock Purdy to do too much without the weapons that he's used to having around him.
Well, speaking of injuries, let's go to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Is that calf injury completely healed? Are you noticing that we're getting the same now, the old Joe Burrow, or is there something that's still lingering? Because, again, he threw 35 times yesterday, and it feels like it's not a story anymore.
No, I agree. I think that the further you get away from that injury, the more reps that he's been getting in practice, and they seem to have done a really nice job of managing him during the more effective he's looked. And look, I think yesterday was a great story in terms of Joe Burrow's resurgence, and I think the Bengals are really coming on here. But the reason they're coming on so strong, and I wrote about this on my weekly national column this morning, it's that defense. And you look at what they did, they held the Seahawks, I believe, one of four opportunities inside the 10-yard line when it comes to scoring touchdowns. They had two stands inside the 10-yard line, especially the end of the game, forcing an incompletion by Geno Smith. You saw the interception on one of the possessions. That defense is playing some of the best football it has all year and really getting back into the form that powered them the last couple of years, deep in the red zone, creating turnovers, limiting scoring opportunities. And I think that as you survey the AFC North, if Burrow continues to get healthy and that defense continues to play at this high a level, the Bengals might be the team to beat.
Yeah, I was saying this morning, I think if you wake up this morning, if you're Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, you're coming off a bye week, and now you're looking and saying, okay, wait, the Bengals are coming back, the Browns defense is now a force. You know, this is now becoming the tough division I thought it was going to be when at the beginning of the season it looked like Cincinnati it could get away from the Bengals with that injury.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you saw yesterday T. Higgins got involved. Tyler Boyd got involved.
Yeah.
They just seem to be getting all of their weapons back into the mix, and a lot of that comes to Joe Burrow. You know, even just from 2 weeks ago, how immobile he was in Tennessee, couldn't really protect himself in the pocket, to being a playmaker once again in the passing game, I think that's the biggest key for them. But again, don't count that defense. They're playing really good complementary football right now, and that was one of the key ingredients to them with their runs to success over the last couple of years, was that defense just playing at a dominant level consistently week in and week out, and they're doing that again.
when you have a, in Houston, you have this rookie quarterback that had no interceptions going into the game. Now has one. Doesn't matter. He's 3-3. The Texans beat the Saints. What else is there to like about what D'Amico Ryans is doing in Houston? What are some other things besides the play of C.J. Stroud? Are there any that's popping out?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. It's the receiver play with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. I think those guys are two of the better young receivers in this league right now, and Nico Collins in particular seems to be getting better each and every week. And I think it's really something. When you look at the culture that D'Amico Ryans helped build with that defense in San Francisco, where you had all-world, all-pro talent, probably the best defensive line in football, you had all-pro corners, you had dominant linebacker play, it seems like he's already imported a lot of that culture and some of that consistent dominance to that defense in Houston. They're a top 10 or 12 defense in the league right now. C.J. Stroud is getting better and better every week. And, you know, depending on what happens with Trevor Lawrence and this injury that he suffered yesterday afternoon, it looks like it could be a legitimate two-horse race in the AFC South. And I think that D'Amico Ryans and what they're building there is a big reason for that. C.J. Stroud, of course, you know, the front runner at this point for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But I think that defense is punching above its weight. And, you know, when you play at that level week after week, you're going to get confidence. And when you're confident, it begets better results. So I kind of like what Houston's building as quickly as they are.
Matt Lombardo joins us, Fan Buzz, senior NFL analyst here on Sports Map Radio. So the Jets were without Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed was out. Elijah Vera Tucker on the offensive line. Yeah, that looked like it was too daunting, but not daunting enough as they go on to win. From a standpoint of we can make things larger than they are or we can make things smaller than they actually are, where do you see this Jets win over the Eagles? I mean, this is now a 3-3 football team.
I think it's more of a five-alarm fire for Philadelphia than it is anything that you draw any thread lines or conclusions to for the Jets. I mean, listen, you're going to find out who the Philadelphia Eagles are over the next 8 weeks. Upcoming opponents have a record of 28-12. You're staring down at matchups against the Dallas Cowboys twice, the San Francisco 49ers, the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins on Sunday Night Football, a rematch against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. You're going to find out who the Philadelphia Eagles are based on how they not only respond to Sunday, but how they come out of this eight-game stretch. And from a Jets perspective, listen, they're a 500 football team at this point. And if you talk to anyone in or around East Rutherford after week one, after the Aaron Rodgers injury, and you said that you would go toe-to-toe for 3.5 quarters with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, you beat the Eagles and you'd be 3-3, I think that a lot of Jets Nation would take that deal. And I think that when you look at it, the way they're winning, the performance of Quinnen and Quincy Williams yesterday, the linebacker play, Breece Hall coming into his own, I'm not going to say it's quite a winning formula, but it's a team that can play spoiler, and if they can just stay in the mix and by some sort of medical miracle, Aaron Rodgers comes back late in the year, they could do some things. They just kind of have to hang on here. But I think you draw more from an Eagles perspective and what the loss means than any sort of long-term evaluation of the Jets.
I know that in this league, one loss doesn't mean a change of narrative. You can lose a game and still be the best team in the NFL. You can win a game and still be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But that being said, can you make a case that the Lions are the best team in the NFL?
Well, I think that's a Herculean leap. I think you can make a better case that they're the best team in the NFC if Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey are hurt. Listen, this is a team that's going to punch you in the mouth up front with some really good pass rushers. They obviously are opportunistic on the back end. They beat you with the running game with David Montgomery. Now, him going out yesterday raises some question marks. But I think what impressed me the most yesterday was watching Jared Goff, who's been captain consistency for them this entire year. All of a sudden, you're stretching the field with Jamison Williams on a 45-yard touchdown. All of a sudden, Amon-Ra St. Brown is emerging as an even bigger deep threat than he had been in the past. They can beat you a multitude of ways. They can beat you with defense. They obviously have a lot of swagger and a lot of confidence. And I think the Lions' brand of football travels. So I don't know that they're the best team in the NFL, but you put the Eagles, the Lions, and the 49ers in a hat. If Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel aren't available, you might be able to pick out the Lions as the best team in the NFC.
I got you, man. Matt Lombardo, again, Fan Buzz is the site senior NFL analyst. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Thanks for helping us go through the weekend.
Of course. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Hope to get you on again soon. Again, Sports Map Radio, as we will. I think it's an interesting conversation because the Lions are 13-3 if you go back to, like, Halloween. Now, I agree with them. I think that it might be a little too much of a leap because, again, if the 49ers are healthy, that's an amazing, amazing football team on both sides of the ball. But the Lions have a road win at Kansas City already. There are some injuries that are affecting San Francisco. The Eagles, well, we were kind of waiting for a game like this, weren't we? And the Lions keep rolling along. But like he said, throw those three teams in a hat. With McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel hurt, you could probably pluck the Lions out as an NFC favorite. And that would put them in the Super Bowl, which for Detroit fans would be the first time they've ever seen that ever. We'll continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.